You know, carrying on with the same thing, same theme, we want things to happen quickly now. Maybe you want your stimulus check to get quickly into your bank account. I think all of us want to see restrictions and all these orders to be removed quickly. I think all of us want to see an end to this, and people are starting to get antsy. You can sense that. There are people's tempers are going short because we're people that are fast. But I hope that this has been a time that would have caused you to slow down and reflect on God and how many blessings we still have, even in spite of all the things. But we are an instant potato situation. I'm even guilty of that. We've learned how to eat at home again, and that's an amazing thing. And we have mashed potatoes. Angie wants to go, and she wants to do the peeling the potatoes and all this other stuff, and that just takes too much time for me. I want the stuff out of the box because that's quick. You know, we all want things to happen quickly. Last week we talked about, you know, in these uncertain times or all these other things, the real phrase is going to come out is there's going to be a new normal. I don't know what's going to happen here on the 30th when all these initial orders have been relifted. But I tell you something, it's not going to be the same that what we had before. And we got to be careful that we watch and we do things wisely, because that's what Christ and that's what the Bible tells us to do. There will be a new normal. And yesterday, some men were helping out here at the church, and we were doing some things in the church. And my prayer is that there's going to be a new normal for our church. My prayer when we get out of here and we figure out all the things about, you know, it's better to be in person than be over the internet. You know, it's better to be with your family than your church family than be kind of strung out. I hope that there's a new normal in your life. I hope that this has drawn you closer to God. Well, in Revelation chapter 22, three times Christ says this. He says, I will come quickly. Now, it may not be on your timetable. It's not. It could happen in the next 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, we're just all raptured out of here, because we're there right now. But I could tell you this. Christ is going to come back. Christ is going to come back. So we're going to look at all of Revelation chapter 22, kind of do a survey of this morning. And in verses 1 through 7, we've been talking a lot through this time about having hope, that we will get through this. And everybody encourages one another that we will get through this. And I'm convinced that we will get through this. And you know, because there is a reason for hope. And there is a reason for hope for the Christian. In verses 1 to 7 of this, and it says, and he showed me, this is Jesus showing John what's going to happen in the future. And it gives John hope. Folks, the Christian has a certain future, and it should give us hope. But it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of nations. You know, Christ has a vaccine for sin. He has a cure for sin, and that's himself. And if you have that remedy for your sin problem in your life, you're going to see this. This is your reason for hope. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. Now for you night owls,
yeah,
that might be a problem. Okay? If you're a person that likes to work around in the dark, there's not going to be any more night there. And there should be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Amen.
And he saith and said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Actually, it's verses 1 through 6. Because I want to kind of leave this off here for this reason, for hope. And in the white text here, it says, these sayings are faithful and true.
Amen.
And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. There should be a new normal. There should be a new normal in our life. This hope should change our whole perspective on what we're going through now and on how we live our lives. Last week we talked about a certain God, that everything that he is talks about, that his promises are certain. They are going to come to pass, just like verse 6 says. It says, these sayings are faithful and true. And he's going to show unto his servants the things which what? Shortly come to pass. It's going to happen quick. It's going to happen quick. So we know from last week that God's certain promises are certain. We know from last week that spiritual truth is certain. And we see it right here. There's going to be a new normal when Christ comes back. He's going to set in place everything that he wants, not what you want. Do you have a new normal in your life? You know, the third part about this is that our spiritual growth should be certain too. And this should have changed you. So, in the following passage, from verses 7 through 21, we see Christ says, I come quickly three times. The first time he says it is in Revelation chapter 22, verses 7 through 11. And it says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. Basically, bow down to the angel. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, worship God. Now, John should have remembered that. He'd seen that in person on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was one of the three that saw Christ in his glorified body. And Peter, of course, Peter said, hey, let's set up three tabernacles here. One to Elijah, and one to Moses, and one to Christ. Because we tend to speak quickly without thinking. And you know what happened is that there was a voice from heaven that says, this is my son, hear ye him. Folks, that should be our normal, is to hear God. And we need to worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is what? At hand. Folks, we may not even get through this day before the rapture happens. Everything has been in place and is in place for Christ to come back and take his church out and to begin the tribulation period. Everything's there. It says, he that is unjust. Okay? He says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. See, there's a choice there. So what this first I come quickly to, it's really to John. But we have three applications here. The first thing is, it's to the disciple. It's to the one who is disciplined. It's the one that makes it normal to follow Christ. The disciple here, we say, he says in this first one, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of the book." You go down to verse 10, and he says the same. And he saith me, "Seal not the prophecy, the sayings of this." Or at verse 9, he says, "I am thy fellow servant of the brethren, the prophets of them which keep the sayings of the book." Worship God. Folks, that's what we need to do. So this promise of "I come quickly" is given to those who know and keep the sayings of this book. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 19, it says, "Where there is no vision..." Remember, John is seeing this new heaven and this new earth. He has a reason for hope. He has a vision. He sees the other side. He sees his way out of this. And when we think about John here, he's a captive on the Isle of Patmos. He said, "Where there's no vision, people perish. But he that what? Keepeth the law, happy is he." Folks, if we keep the commandment of God, that we get saved, and then we serve the Lord and love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we should be happy. And we'll love our neighbor as ourselves. So he says here, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." This is the only book in the Bible where there is a result of being blessed or being happy. We know about the Beatitudes. But in Revelation chapter 1 verse 3, it says, "Blessed that keeps is he that hears and keeps the sayings of this book." The same thing here. Folks, God's word is important. And I hope that's your new normal, that you're following God's word. It should be our normal anyway as a Christian. It should be the mark of a disciple, that we should keep the sayings of the book. The second one is one who reacts to God by worship. One who reacts to God by worship. So when John hears these things, he sees the reason for hope. And then all of a sudden, he hears this word, I come quickly. And when he did that, he bowed down to the angel and fell down and started worshiping the angel. And he says, nope. He says, "Don't worship me." And folks, there's only one creator. There's only one God. There's only one being in this universe that we should worship. And that's God. And so he says here, he says, "I'm your fellow servant." He says, "Worship God" in verse 9. In John chapter 9, verse 31, it says, "Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God..." That should be your new normal.
Right.
That should be your normal. You can make it your new normal today by asking God to help you through this. And what? "Doeth his will, him he heareth." The other night we talked about prayer. And that we can't expect God to hear and answer our prayers if we don't follow him. And folks, being his disciples, that we're looking for the hope. Being his disciples, that we're going to keep the sayings of the book. Being a disciple is one who basically has a worship relationship with God. That everything that we do is an act of worship. It's just not singing. It's sharing the gospel. It's being a good steward. It's doing all those things. So, "Behold, I come quickly," to one who keeps the saying of the book. "I come quickly" to one who worships him. He comes quickly to one who realizes that the time is near. In verse 10 it says, "For the time is at hand. Means it could happen in a moment. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, I'll give you a little bit of stuff about Wednesday night. Okay? We're supposed to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. What does this really mean? If you are a disciple, if you are actually understanding and hearing that Christ is going to come quickly, that should motivate you to go out and tell other people that don't know Him about Christ. I hope that through this time, you've had a time to talk and reflect about God to your family. Maybe a time to talk to your neighbor. I hope we haven't wasted these opportunities that we've had by these orders that we've gotten. These have been tremendous opportunities to share the word. And so, based on the fact that he says, I come quickly, we need to understand what God's saying here and understand that the time is here, and that ought to change the way we act. In Ephesians, it says that we're supposed to redeem the time, for the days are what? Evil. And then lastly, to the disciple, it's one who lives by the decision to be righteous and holy. See, verse 11 doesn't talk about predestination. It does in a sense. But the issue is God knows who's going to choose him and who's not going to choose him. And if you decide that you're not going to follow God, you've made your decision, and there is no way that you're going to fix yourself and become justified in front of God.
That's right.
And that's what this is saying. It says, he that is unjust, doesn't know God, he's going to stay unjust until he meets God. He that doesn't have his sins forgiven and trust God is going to die in his sins. And this morning, he's coming quickly. And you need to understand that you need a personal relationship with God. Because if your life ends and you are in this state, you will be forever in this state. The only one that can change the unjust, the only one that can change the filth of our lives is God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But for the Christian, for the disciple, God's changed us. And once we get saved, God sees Christ's righteousness in our life, and it can be never taken away. There are some people that say, well, I can lose my salvation. And they live in fear of losing their salvation. My question is, what do you do to do it? That means that you're bigger than God. You don't lose your salvation. Romans 8 proves it. John 10 proves it. We don't lose our salvation. But if the thing is this verse 11 says this. He that is righteous by the blood of Christ should remain righteous now and in the future. In the future, everything's going to be taken away because we will have no choice. But right now, we have a choice. When given a choice to do the right or the wrong thing, which one do you pick? He that is righteous should be righteous. And we should be holy too. The disciple is one who keeps the words of the book. The disciple is the one who worships God. The disciple is one who redeems the time. The disciple is one who basically understands that I must live by my decision to serve Him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, it says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It's just not in our talk. But James says that the tongue is a little member, and if you could tame that, you could tame your whole body. But this is in everything we do. Everything we do, we need to be holy in it, because It is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Folks, Christ is coming quickly. We need to live in light of that. And we need to keep the word of His, the law of His word. And we need to follow it. We need to worship Him and Him alone. We need to realize that the time is now, because He says quickly, and He says the time is at hand, and we need to live like that. And then lastly, we need to be righteous and holy. How is your spiritual checkup on being a disciple this morning? Are you doing those four things? We need to do that because He's coming quickly. In verses 12 through 16, the second point here, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates of the city." See, the tree of life is in the city, and in the city is God. And you can't be inside the city with God unless you have a relationship with Him. It says, "For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." See, the first "I come quickly" is to the disciple, which we should be. The second "I come quickly" is to the servant, which we also shall be. This word here, and it says, "And behold," He's used it twice now. This word "behold" means to take notice. You know, people are still asking, is this the end time? No, this is the latter days. This is the last days. And I met a young man yesterday, and he's having some issues in his life, and he says, "When I open up the Bible, it scares me. It scares me." Folks, I'll tell you what. Look at what's happened in this world in the last matter of weeks. One event has caused everybody to be fearful, has caused economies to crash, has caused many people to die, has caused all sorts of chaos in the world. And you sit and you wonder about this. These things should make the Christian take notice. Because there's an entire book, this book that we're reading the last chapter of right now, that talks about things that are far, far worse than what we're going through right now. And the issue is that if something simple like this, and it really is simple, it's just one event, can cause this type of chaos, what about 7 years of it? What about 7 years? Christ is coming quickly. Christ is coming quickly. And when He was on earth and in the flesh, He talked about His coming and being ready. Folks, if you claim to be a Christian, you need to take notice of what's coming on, of what's going on right now. This is just a preview of that. Christ said, He says, "When you see these signs happening, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh." And we need to live as if that happens. In Luke chapter 12, verses 40 through 43, Christ is saying this again. He says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for ye the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Are we ready for him today? You know, sometimes when someone knocks on the door as an unexpected visitor, oh, quick, hide everything. Hey, clean everything. Let's put it in a box and throw it under the couch and throw it under the bed. Because we had a gas here. Christ is coming back. Do you have to clean up your spiritual house this morning? Oh, please do it before it's too late. He's coming. He's out in the driveway. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Once again, Peter just doesn't quite grasp it at times. Folks, God's word is to everybody. Okay, God's word is to everybody. His promises are to the ones that follow his word. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise what? Steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his house to give them their portion of meat and what? Due season. And then the last verse is this. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Are you living as if Christ could come back today? Are we still living in fear? Does God's word scare you? It should not. It should give you hope. John sees his hope in the first six verses here. And then Christ says, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Folks, this shall change the way we live. There is a certainty of reward. It says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. See, it's based on the position of Christ. This reward, when you go and you study it, it could be a good one or a bad one. It talks about judgment. It talks about wages. If you do evil things, you're going to reap wages for those evil things. If you do good things, you're going to reap wages for those good things. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the issue is, make the decision. Don't be unjust. Don't be filthy. Be righteous. Be holy. And he says, I'm coming. And when I come, I'll give you what you've earned. I'll give you what my judgment is true on. And it says, because it's based on my position. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. When Christ started revealing this to John, he told John, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. At the end of this book, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is God. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. The certainty reward is based on the position of Christ. And we know that all things in God are certain. Secondly, there are two rewards here. If you're righteous, you'll do the commandments of the book. And you'll have a right to the tree of life. And you could enter in the city. To the unrighteous, if you don't know Christ, when this all happens, it's over. It's over. And you're without. And you believe the lie in your life. And you're not going to stand in front of the God of truth. You will for judgment. But you're not coming in the city to be there. You won't be an inhabitant there. And so there's a certainty of reward here. It's based on the authority, the position of God and his authority. It's based, and there's a reward to the righteous in verse 14. There's a reward to the unrighteous in verse 15. And it is based on the testimony of Christ. Folks, Christ talks to us. He's talking to us right now, church. He's talking to us through his word. He's talking to us through the Spirit. He says, I have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. You don't need to look for anyone else. I am your Savior. I am your Lord. I am your Master. I am your redeemer. I am your protector. I am the great physician. I am all you need. We sing that song, Christ is all I need. He's all I need. Christ is all I need. There's a certainty reward if we take notice. Folks, this morning, I want you to take notice of what's going on around you. And we need to be prepared. The Lord will be pleased when He finds the servant faithful in so doing when He comes back. The last passage, verses 17 through 21, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The first I come quickly is to the disciple, which we are. The second, behold, I come quickly is to the servant, which we should be. The third one is to the bride, the church. Mm-hmm. The church. And in Christ, when He was telling about His second coming, He uses all parables about a wedding feast and about wise virgins and unwise virgins, about being ready. We just saw a passage about being ready. And what we need to understand is that the promise of surely I come quickly should cause us to have an outward look. In verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Oh, church, I want to encourage you to ask others to come to Jesus. I want to encourage you that you yourself come to Jesus. It says, and let him that heareth, remember these first two things? He that keep the law, hears the law and keeps it. He that hears the law and does it. One is being a disciple because that's your belief system. The other one is being a servant because you're doing it. That's what we're supposed to do. It should cause an outward look to go and tell others about this. And let him that is athirst come, and whatsoever, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. See, the water of life is not just for you, but it's for everyone. Everyone who hears the cry and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and responds to it. Everyone who hears the promise of the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. But God is not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, this morning, if you do not know Him as your Savior, do not delay. Do not delay. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8, He says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess Me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. You know, we're going to have to give an account for every idle word. Is the fact that Christ is coming quickly enough that we would go out and invite others to come to Him? We need to accept the message at face value. Christ says in verse 18, don't add. Verse 19, don't take away. It's all about Him and Him alone. The Bible says, as you come as a faith of a simple, the simple faith of a child. And so the issue is that we just need to take God at face value. We need to take all these things as face value and say, God, what do you have me to do today? I guarantee you it's going to be in accordance with His Word. I guarantee you it will be in accordance with His will. I guarantee you it'll be in alliance with the Spirit. This week I was dealing with some people and they said, I messed up. And I said, before you messed up, did you get a sense something you were going to do was wrong? Yep. Why did you do it? Because I wanted to. Folks, it's time to start listening. It's time to start listening to what God writes. Don't add to it. Don't take it away. Just do what He says to do. You know, Elijah, after the prophets, after he has a battle with the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings, you know, he goes in a cave and he's all upset and he's discouraged and he's thing and he's looking for God and God comes and there's a big wind and all and an earthquake, but God's not in the earthquake. It's a still small voice. You know why it's a still small voice? Because you have to turn your ear and tune your heart to listen. And oftentimes the best attention getter is whispering, because then you can't hear. I want you to hear God this morning. I want you to hear God this morning. We should keep the message at face value, and it should cause an upward look. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, a very familiar verse. We've been using it a lot. Looking for that blessed hope. See, John had one. John had one. The first six verses. And the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Three times in this chapter. Three times as he's closing his prophet, he says, I come quickly. Behold, I come quick. And behold, I come quick. Take notice, church. Take notice, world. Christ is coming back. And then his last promise is, surely. Because you know what? God is certain. He's certain. Surely, I come quickly. And our response should be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Pray it on. I have a desire to see you, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God. Is God great to you? Is God your Savior? And Savior, Lord, Jesus Christ. And then lastly, God always closes with this. When He gives an invitation and He calls you to do something, He gives grace. The Bible says His grace is sufficient for me. The issue is, are we living it? Are we living it? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, in my final passage, it says here, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's the point. Paul is writing this to a church in real time. Paul is alive. He's in his physical body. The church at Ephesus was physically there. He's talking in the here and now at the time he wrote this letter. But see what Paul had. When he had acknowledgement that even though I'm living in this world is not my home. And I'm a fellow citizen with Christ. And because I know Jesus Christ, and because I know His Word, and because I'm following His will, I live as if I'm already there. And that's what we have to do, especially in times of uncertainty, especially at a time there's little hope, because God is certain. God is certain. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Folks, we're in that age right now. Our eternity is set by our decision for Christ or against Christ. If you know him, you'll be with him. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. Well, I got to think about it. No. You need to have faith about it. You need to take Christ at his face value. There's salvation in none other. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This morning, let us live in the light of Christ's coming. Take notice. Take notice. And believe when Christ said, "Surely I come quickly." We go to the bank on that. And our response and our life should reflect, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, today I pray that this would be the time that they realize that you died on the cross for their sins, that you were buried and you rose again. And that they would cry out and say, "God, forgive me of my sins. I can't get to heaven on my own. I need you. Give me the gift of eternal life." Father, I pray that for us as Christians, that we would live in light of your words, that you're coming quickly, that we take notice and that we have a desire to serve you and be ready at your coming. Father, thank you for giving us a preview of what's going to happen. But Lord, help everything that happens to us, Lord, draw us closer to you. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.